And you all please be seated. I do ask your forbearance in case my memory may fail me. It's necessary for me to mention two notices. The first is that the family are very much in our thoughts, and our condolences extend very greatly to all the family. So I want to notice they have requested that any that cannot make the cemetery at Fenstanton are very welcome to go straight to the venue at Fen Drayton, the village hall. And briefly, that the chapel at Fenstanton is open, facilities, and there is a car park, but it may be necessary to go further up into Church Lane. Just at the top there are parking facilities. Thank you. And may God help us indeed. Think and sing the hymn, our first hymn, 471 that is. How often we sing this hymn, perhaps increasingly. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Thank you. be seated. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious God, we would sit humbly at the footstool of thy mercy for ourselves and especially at this time. Our God may descend, their spirit of help and truth and grace may be with us each. And when I said, Lord, begin with me, pray that thou direct our thoughts above a poor fleeting dying world to those eternal realities concerning our never dying souls. But Lord, we do gather up in much desire to seek for that comfort of thy love to our dear brother and the family and the sisters especially. We pray that thou be round about them, Lord, and remember each one. Pray for thy servants, each one. We seek, Lord, that thou come now. Let our hearts that need moving toward thee in penitence, in truth, be with us. Remember each one, Lord, we tenderly bear before thee, seeking that thou help and bless each one, the young ones especially. And Lord, do grant now that help to worship thee. For we must all appear. May we worship thee at this time by thy grace. And feel a little sweetness in that name of Jesus. How gloriously ascended. But forgive our sin and all our unworthiness. And come, Lord, right where we are. And the dear friends that deeply mourn, may they feel comforted. May the Lord be with them. We read that Jesus wept. So we desire, Lord, to come and seek thy presence. Lord, be not afar off, or leave us not. Come quickly. May it be a good service. If thou art here, it will be a time of blessing. We ask for it. Seek, Lord, that thou comfort hearts especially, and forgive our sins. The hymn suits us well. Wash us in thy precious blood. How often we are reminded of our approach to thee at the end of our lives, if thou dost tarry. We ask all in that worthy, prevailing, precious name of Jesus. For his sake we ask. Amen. I'll read a few verses of scripture and we will sing our second hymn. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels that stood round about the throne, and about the elders and four beasts or creatures, representatives, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour, that's especially on my mind, and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. We will sing from the second hymn. Thank you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That was the religion of our dear departed sister in the faith. Thank you. Can you please be seated? Thank you. It's always my custom to try and speak from the scriptures. But firstly, as is customary, I desire to just read from the experience of our dear sister in the faith, in some little measure, may Christ be exalted. We have before us the abbreviated account of some of the Lord's dealings. Our friend and sister, indeed, Mary, was born into a godly home on the 23rd of December 1935. John and Clara Chapman. She said, "The truths and worship of the Almighty were a thing of naught and unimportant to her. But when about 14 years old, just after the war, there had been lots of things before the young girl on her way to school. These words came with a power from God, friend. A young heart, and yet the subject of the new birth. Even the world speak of the new birth, don't they? We'll hear a few things about it." "He heard a sermon from Lay Up for Yourself, Treasure in Heaven, Where Neither Moth Nor Rust Doth Corrupt. This had a convincing effect. But there was a conflict with her carnal reasoning." Always so, friends. "But God will perfect what he begins. And she was a subject of the new birth with the opposition it brings, and sometimes hearing and sometimes wishing to be rid of her convictions. There's no doubt this was a new birth. However, the hymn, 'My Hope Is Built,' well known, isn't it? Is built and nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness was blessed to her with gracious power above this world. She was eventually led to join the church with her dear husband, being baptized by Mr. Robert Field. The text being, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' But she was especially tempted. She couldn't go through with it. Greatly so. Until God used a very wonderful, in a wonderful way, brought her to completely turn again unto the Lord and his commandments. And the terrible snare and resistance was broken, and she followed the Lord. And she did to the end of her journey here. By his grace, that was on the 14th of December 1975. I do not spend long here, but it's right to notice how God brought her and her dear husband together. It's well when it's like that. Friends, they prayed to the Lord about it, praying their way along. And God prospered. Union. And they were married in the Lord. One word especially was blessed to her. 'My presence shall go with thee.' Which she desired both spiritually and in providence. They were married by Mr. Hadley, who was then pastor at Lakenheath Chapel. They were together for just over 55 years. What hath God wrought? And they walked together. Often spoke about it to me. How they're able to walk in the ways of the Lord together. How wonderful that is. One particular aspect of their life together was that their enjoyment of going down to the south. And their desire was to hear the sermons that might be preached by those they loved especially in the gospel. Some remain very much in her memory. She often spoke about them. Times when God would draw near. One minister I knew them both, Mr. R.J. Honeysett and Mr. J.W. Sperling Tyler, were those they loved to hear, with others too. Friends, they lived for the truth, for the gospel. And God prospered them. Our dear friend here was our dear friend at Penstanton, as they were with us, there was such a strength and support to me and the church here. That is at Penstanton. Our dear sister in the faith was brought through a very great valley of affliction, that God stood above it, minutely. And soon she was brought to the end of a deep affliction and carried straight to glory. God's appointed time, and she now rests with the Saviour. Well, friends, much more could be said, how we could walk with her in the things of God. And she would often speak to one member in the congregation especially, after the sermon, of the things she'd heard. It is well when it's like that. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another. I want to perhaps leave many things, but it is right to notice the way God had led them, and there's such a consolation in it. My brother is upheld, friends, by his God. I know it. Such a strength to me, although he's far away, he's very near in the spiritual sense. Well, those are a few things that belong to, very few things belonging to our dear friend Mary Palmer's experience. And those are the things that remain. Now, it is my desire, friends, as I hope God has appointed me to preach, but then not to preach sermons without any thought for the hearers. It's a time when they mourn. So I seek that God may direct them to his sweet word of comfort, his blessing, that there might be something to gather up. Sorrowful hearts might be able to feel the truth of those words Jesus wept. And really in the gospel, he is such a one for the brokenhearted. And those that come into fresh trials and crosses, dispensations. So I want to hasten. Words that, friends, occupy my mind regarding the service and our dear departed friend, but departed to be with Christ, which is far better. We've read those words in the fifth chapter of Revelation, a very difficult chapter in one sense, but friends, what a blessed part it is. A few things. In chapter 5, we read there was a book that just couldn't be opened. John was stumbled, and there was no one worthy to open the book until we read, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book. That is to bring these things with that authority and understanding until the Lamb took the book, and that's none other than Christ. And we need him. He's in his book. We need the Lord to take of it, friends, in the light of eternity. We do. And we read here in the fifth chapter, firstly of the elders and the living creatures. And they began to wonder at this opening of the book in the hands of the Lamb of God. When he had taken the book, they fell down and they sang a new song. The elders and beasts or creatures, really, the representative of him that is the Almighty. And we notice these words. He's saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom and strength and honour, and glory, and blessing, and so on." And then we read over in the next very sacred part of God's word. After this, he says, what does it mean? After this, John saw and beheld a great multitude. And these were sinners saved by grace. And they still are, according to God's sacred, blessed purposes. But just look at it for a moment, hastening. A great multitude will we be among them, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hand. These are such as are saved by grace divine. Oh, what a subject that is, and what a consolation there is. Our friend is now around the throne with such a great number that cannot be numbered, according to God's most holy word. Now, we read a little further these words, that by those that were redeemed. They sang, they do, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom. So it's from another source. These characters, the angels could not taste, but they adored. But these are characters, friends, saved by grace divine. They are given to Christ. And he redeems them by his precious blood. And this is where I want to come quickly. They sang too. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour, as we have hinted. That's on my spirit. And power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. The song of the redeemed. Now there's just a few thoughts, friends. What do we stand for in our hope, as we have sung from the words in the hymns? Very sweet hymn. Well, friends, it's this. I want to be clear about it. When God sent me to preach, I had to preach from these words. What the law could not do, God goes on to say what he does and performs. Now, let me try and speak very clearly about it. There must be a setting forth of God in his holiness and also his majesty. And it's this. He gave honour to a broken law. That was the subject, still is, of my desire to preach. It's what the law could not do. It was never intended to do, never appointed to do, but magnify the offences. The poor sinners, but they are called by grace divine to know a little this honour that the Lord Jesus took to that law and made it honourable, friends, until it's got no condemnation in it. To those that fear God, read about it. These are the characters that God blesses with his grace. I knew nothing about it. But now I don't know enough. And I commend these thoughts to you a little further, as we may be able to speak in God's name, regarding our dear departed friend. It's the honour that God gave to her. Them that honour me I will honour, shall honour. And by the new birth, she began to give honour to the Lord. It's the nature of God's grace. Won't be not opposed, of course, but I want to speak very carefully. Friends, it's the honour she had to his name. Together, walking in the ways of the Lord, giving honour unto the God of all grace. Friends, walking it out, ever the Lord appointed. And this is what stands in my view. The honour by God's grace she was able to give. Firstly to the Lord, by grace divine. Let me prove it, friends. She loved the hymns we've sung, do we? And also, the honour in which she was able to serve, according to God's word, her dear husband. Many things, trials, tribulations, and the difficulties of the farm and everything. Friends, they walked for the Lord in that way to honour him, especially in his commandment, especially the desire to honour the Lord. With that grace of God, they go together. Grace of God and obedience should go together. We think of the word here, how God enabled them to honour the Lord. And now our brother is left alone, but not quite alone. His God, I believe, is with him. He seeks to follow on in the same ways of the Almighty. Now may we be walking in such a way, friends, as give honour to the Almighty. It's by grace divine. It's by God-given faith that we could be saying, leaning upon the Beloved, even Jesus. These are the things that attend my thoughts. I make no apology for trying to speak in God's name, but in much lowliness of mind. Oh, the shortcomings, the sins that belong to us, the unbelief. But, friends, the Lord liveth. It's going to him again and again. Is it you that fear the Lord? Do you have to go again and again? Men go to the law of God, but dear saints of God, they have to go to Christ and his law. We desire to leave a few things spoken in the spirit of love and faithfulness. Much could be said, more of the honour that God bestows, there's heaven in it. I must leave a few thoughts there, but God attend his word with much grace and deliverance from this poor dying world. We seek to come now to sing once more the God's praise. Our closing hymn, our closing hymn. It's all about the honours, isn't it? In hymn 1106, to tune eventide, immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, they do. My God, my portion, and my living bread, in him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. Thank you. Please be seated, thank you. Almighty, gracious God, do cover all amiss, all wrong, all our shortcomings. Bless the word of thy grace, the time to seek the Lord, the time to be humbled under his almighty hand. Lord, grant it to us. Take us onwards, remember the dear family and our brother especially and the sisters and all the grandchildren. We do ask thy blessing upon us in life's journey. Do help us to be thankful for every mercy. Cover with thy mantle forgiving love. We ask all in that worthy name. Now may the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favour, rest upon us from above. Amen.